Ezekiel chapter 48. It's in your Old Testament. Maybe it's easier to find Daniel. If you find Daniel, it's just the page back from that. I'm going to read one verse to you, and that's the last verse of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 48, and verse 35. I'm going to give you the answer to why people come to Winterfest. I want to give you the answer of why people drive 2, 3, 4, 5. Some drove 6, 7 hours to be here last night to be in service with us. I want to give you the reason why Calvin Ray and myself are here this week. I want to give you the reason and the answer to the question why the churches have come together to see people saved. I want to give you that. I'm going to give you the reason and the answer for that here in this text verse. Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35 says this. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. For the past few messages at our home church, I've been doing a series on the names of God, specifically the Jehovah names of God. And the name of God, you can't get it exhausted when you preach it. I could preach from now till he comes back and never exhaust the names of God and what he means to us. And this is one of those names that is ascribed to him. Because do you understand that for every situation you're in, there's a name of God attached to it? And if you can't find one, just go back to I am. Because whatever you need him to be, that's what he'll be. But here in this text verse, it says there will be a city that would be built. And the name of that city from this day shall be, the Lord is there. The Jehovah name of God is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. The Lord is there. There's the answer to the question why we have Winterfest. Because the Lord is there. Amen. There's a reason why we drive an hour and a half one way to come this week to Moorhead, Kentucky. Because the Lord is there. And I hope that's why you go to your church. Because the Lord is there. Amen. And aren't you thankful for that the Lord is here? Amen. We're not wasting our time tonight. Why? Because the Lord is here. You know how I know he's here? Because I brought him with me. Amen. And you brought him with you. And the Bible says where two or three are gathered, there I'll be in the midst. And we have overshot that this week already. And he is here. He has met with us. We have sanctified this place and set it apart for the Shekinah glory of God to come down and meet with us this week. And I want to report to you, hallelujah, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. He's here. And the book of Ezekiel is basically divided into two different sections. In chapters 1 through 32, Ezekiel the prophet just pronounces divine judgment on the people of God. But then it turns to 180 degrees through chapters 33 through 48. It's a message and a hope of encouragement. And there's a reason why they needed that encouragement. For 32 chapters, Ezekiel had just been browbeating him, so to speak. And so they needed some encouragement. But the reason why they were needed preached to, because they were in exile in Babylon. And the reason why they were in exile is because they were disobedient and they were blinded to what God had done for them. It was basically a revolving door with the children of Israel. You'll find in the Word of God there's a pattern in the Old Testament. They would search after God and seek after God. God would bless them. Then they would turn from God. Then God would allow things to happen to get them to turn right around. You say, Brian, all that must have stopped in the New Testament. Oh no, that's still going on today. God does so much for so many of us, and yet we don't come to church when we should. We don't. I hit something there, didn't we? He does things for us, and he allows things to happen just to show us how much he loves us, and we take for granted the blessings that he bestows upon us. And that's what happened with the children of God. They had fallen away. In fact, they were given away to strange gods. And even in chapters 10 and 11, God allowed the city and the temple to lay in ruin just as a sign to show them that the glory of the Lord had departed. And just as Calvin Ray preached last night, God is long-suffering, but my friend, if you don't want him around, he'll go somewhere else. And the children of Israel experienced that. And Ezekiel said, because you turn your back on God, he's going to turn his back on you. So he is pronouncing divine judgment on them. And listen, we have to understand that just like the Spirit of God, sometimes we do the same thing in the fact that we don't backslide overnight. No, we don't fall away from God overnight. No, we do it in steps. And usually the way they do it at Rubyville is just like this. They start off real good on the front row, and then they start missing every now and again. Then they move back middle of the way. And then they start missing just a little bit more because Wednesday night's not important anymore, because Sunday night it's not important anymore. So they move a little bit farther back. Then before you know it, they're up in the balcony. And then the next thing you know, they're out the door and you don't see them in 6 months. You see, that's the way it happens. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you pastors, you better say amen right there. I'm busy preaching. You know what it means. And listen, God is, he doesn't have to bless us. But may we understand, he bestows on us blessing after blessing. Let's not take for granted or turn our back on how good God is to us. That's what the children of Israel did. And for 32 chapters, he pronounced judgment on them. But then all of a sudden, he gives them in the midst of that darkness some hope. He gives them that hope in this verse. He said, your city's going to be restored. The temple's going to be restored. And from that point on, there's going to be a name attached to the city. And the name is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. That means he's not going to leave you again. He's going to be there with you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. Oh, what hope that we have in this dark, depraved world. Hallelujah, that the God of earth and the God of heaven still sits on his throne. And he's still here today. He is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. Aren't you thankful for that this evening? Hallelujah. He is there. He's always been there. Yeah, he has. When you say he's there, that means he's omnipresent. That means he's always been there. You say, Brian, prove it. I'll prove it. Four words. In the beginning, God. That means he's always been there. Can you think about where we would be if it wasn't for those four powerful words? In the beginning, God. Because without God in the beginning, none of this would ever happen. But because he was there in the beginning, before the beginning, and after the beginning, hallelujah, we can lift up holy hands knowing that God is always and will be in control. Why? Because he was in the beginning. He's in the beginning of your blessings. Every blessing that's ever been bestowed on you, he's the beginning of it. He's the author of it. Remember what the Bible says. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from the Father above. Anything that comes to you, my friend, it comes directly from the hand of God. Aren't you glad for the blessings? God's in the beginning of our blessings, but also he's in the beginning of our battles. Before the battle ever starts, hallelujah, God is right there, Jehovah Shammah. Remember when he came to Gideon that day, and he called him a mighty man of valor, and he was just out working in the field. Gideon, he didn't understand what a mighty man he was, but God saw something within Gideon that he didn't see within himself, and he gave him this promise: you're going to go out and fight a battle, but you don't have to worry. I will not fail thee. I will not leave thee. I will not forsake thee. In the beginning of our battles, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. And if that means he's omnipresent, that means he's in the beginning of your blunders too. You understand, before you sin, he's already got a plan for you to get out of it? Yeah, I got scripture. Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain in the mind of God from the foundation of the world. That means before Adam even sinned in the Garden of Eden, before Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God already had a plan. And his plan would be that his son would die on the cross of Calvary for the redemption, for the sins of the world. Aren't you glad for that tonight, folks? Before you even sin, God already has a plan for you to get out of it. Hallelujah. He's in the beginning of your blunders. And if he's omnipresent, if he's there, that means he knows exactly where you're at. He knows where you're going, and he knows where you're going to end up. Now we can say amen, and we can shout around the building thinking that the Lord is there. But think about it this way. Young person, the Lord is there when you're behind closed doors and your parents don't know what's going on. Sir, the Lord is there whenever you're talking to that woman at work that you shouldn't be talking to. Ma'am, the Lord is there when you're talking to that man that you shouldn't be talking to at work. I'm telling you, the Lord is there. He's all-seeing, he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful. Oh, we want to shout on them, but you don't want to shout right then, do you? I'm telling you, the Lord is there. He sees, he knows, but thank God, even though he sees and knows who you really are, hallelujah, he can take care of the sin in your heart tonight. Why? Because he's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. So where's he at? Where's he at? Well, number one, he's there in times of tears. In times of tears. Have you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt like God doesn't hear your prayer? I think I've heard it so many times how people will come to the altar and they say, Lord, I'm praying. Brian, I'm praying. Pastor, I'm praying. It seems like my prayers don't even get off the floor. Listen, do you understand that some of God's greatest characters in the Bible felt the same way you have? Amen. Remember that tonight. David felt alone many times when he was running in fear for his life. Moses felt alone and he needed a touch from God just to see the glory. Job felt alone when all the tragedies in life happened to him. Paul felt alone. In fact, he even one time said that everybody had forsaken him. Elijah prayed one of the greatest prayers in the Bible, and then the very next day sitting under a juniper tree because of a threat, and he wanted to die. Remember, even Jesus felt alone because he cried from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? His disciples felt alone. Remember when he told him he was going to leave in Matthew 28? He said, I'm going to leave you. They didn't understand. They didn't know what's going on, but he gave them a promise, didn't he? He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He gives us a promise that in times when you feel alone and you feel forsaken, just remember the characters in the Word of God. They felt that. They know that. And I'm sure there are people here that feel the same way even yet this evening. But may I remind you, he knows, he sees, and most of all, he's there. He's there. I think of the song they sang even tonight. I walked right beside you. I walked right beside you. Aren't you thankful tonight that he has never left us? He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Why? Because he's Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. In the Korean War, many captives that were held hostage never tried to escape, because they already made up their mind there was no hope. My, what a tragic place to be in. But think about in churches week after week. Many people think there's no hope for their life. Many people think there's no hope for their depression. Many people think there's no hope to get out under the cloud. Many people think there's no way I'm going to get out of this storm. Oh, don't sit in your pew of unbelief. No, seek him. Seek his face. And remember, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. In times of tears, he is there. But also in times of trouble, he is there. Remember what the word says in Psalm 46:1? God is our refuge and strength. What is he? A very present help in the time of trouble. That means when you need him, when you're in trouble, call on him. Why? Because he's there. Even before you got into trouble, he was there. You don't have to look too far. He's there. In the Second World War, there was a man that jumped in a foxhole. Bullets were flying over his head. And he kept digging into the ground because he was scared for his life, he was trying to bury himself in the ground just to get away from all those, the enemy that was coming against him. And as bullets were flying over his head, he began to dig into the ground and he just felt something, and it was a piece of metal. And he dug it out of the ground and it was a silver crucifix. He wasn't a man of God. He had no idea what that was for other than someone put a cross in that foxhole. So he was there holding on to it, cleaning for dear life, thinking that's the best I can do. I'm going to die. All of a sudden, another man jumped in the foxhole beside him. And as he looked over, he noticed that the man that just jumped in the foxhole had a cross on his hat and on his uniform. He understood that he was a chaplain. And so the man holding the crucifix said, hey, how does this thing work? They were in trouble. And he wanted to get out of trouble. And you say, well, Brian, that's a funny story. Oh, yeah. But listen, I got news for you. The cross works. It's a very present help in the time of trouble. And I got good news for you. No matter what situation you're in tonight, run to the cross of Calvary. Why? Because Jehovah Shammah, he is there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And there's, I guarantee, everyone in here. There's just pretty much three different groups of people here tonight. Number one, there's people that are in trouble right now. There's people that's getting ready to get into trouble. And then there's people that's already been through trouble. And I think we all can attest to the fact that we've been through some trouble times. And I guarantee you, whatever you're facing tonight, you say, Brian, there's no one here that would know what I'm going through. I wouldn't say that, because more than likely, there's probably someone that knows exactly what you're going through. And they have found that God was there. In fact, let's do this tonight. If you have ever had a crisis in your family and you found that God was there, could you stand? You can be seated. Have you ever needed a job and God was there? Would you stand? Woo! Okay, you can be seated. Have you ever been through a financial crisis and found that God was there? Woo! May I remind you, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed making bread. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Okay, you can be seated. Have you been through times of sickness and you found him to be there? Some of you just need to stand up the whole time. Glory. Have you ever had times of doubt and discouragement and you thought you wouldn't make it another day, but you found the Lord was there? Could you stand and praise him tonight and found Jehovah Shammah? The Lord is there. Aren't you glad for his faithfulness this evening? Hallelujah. He's there. He's there. Woo, he's there. He's there. He's there. He's there. Guess what, Jared? I needed him this morning and he was there. I needed him today when I was praying with someone before they went into surgery and he was there. I needed him yesterday when I laid my head down at night and he was there. I've needed him at the doctor's office and he was there. I've needed him at the bedside of a dying saint and I found him to be there. I'm telling you, there's nowhere you can go that you can escape the presence of God. Why? Because he's Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. Well, I feel the Lord tonight. Why? Because he's here. Hallelujah, he's here. Glory to God. In times of tears, he's there. In times of trouble, he's there. And in times of testing, he's there. He's there. Now see, God allowed this test to come in the lives of the nation of Israel, because they were disobedient and they turned their back on God. So he allowed that time of testing to allow them a time and a space of grace, if you will, to repent and turn back. And people ask all the time, Brian, how do I know if I'm being tested? How do I know that this attack is from the enemy or if this is a test from God? I got the answer for you. Is there sin in your heart? If you have unconfessed sin, God will allow that test in your life to try to get you to repent and do right. And my friend, if you don't repent, now this is strong preaching right here, but if you don't repent, it'll get worse. I'm not saying all sickness is because of sin. As a result of sin. I'm not saying that. Some of God's greatest men and women I know face sickness. But I'm telling you, sometimes God allows things to happen to shake our bush, so to speak. And to understand he's there. And you need to repent. The nation of Israel needed to repent. And God gave them hope for that repentance. Also, if that trial you're going through is pulling you away from God, that's an attack of the enemy. Any test, any decision Young person, any relationship that pulls you away from God is not of God.
Amen.
I can answer that right now.
Right.
Well, I didn't mean to say all that, but it fit. So what's the other one? Brian, how is this a test? Is God testing me? Okay, there's the sin in your life, but then also there's the test of sanctification. See, God sometimes allows us to go through certain testing for us to move higher and closer to Him. Now, you don't hear this preached a lot either. And I'm not preaching denomination. I'm preaching Bible right here. The Bible still says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Salvation is absolutely free. But if you're going to serve God, it's going to cost you something. And the fact remains, some of us have got things in our life that God don't want in our life. I'm not saying you're not saved, and I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. But if you want to enjoy your salvation, and if you want victory in your life and in your soul, you might need to get rid of some of those things that maybe aren't sin, but they just don't matter. Because eventually those things become hindrances. And you say, Brian, what is it? You know what it is. I don't have to. I mean, when I growing up, preachers named everything that was wrong. To them, it probably was. God convicted them of it. I'm not going to preach down your corn road, and I don't know what's going on in your heart. I don't know what God's like, but I guarantee He's laid His finger on something. So the question is, do you want to go higher? Do you want to live in victory? Do you want to have a testimony that pleases God? Do you want to have a testimony that every step you take, the devil says, watch out, they're coming. And the fact is, we just don't have people that are living that kind of life today. I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're here. But I'm telling you, I preach to people every week, my age especially, and a little bit younger than me, between 25, 35, and 40, that aren't sold out to God. And my friends, if my generation don't sell out, we ain't going to have a church in 5 to 10 years. Oh, they'll meet every week, but it won't be church. God wants us to. But by the way, when you move up, He's there. I got scripture. Let me read it real quick and we'll close. Mike and Tracy Shane, come. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me.
Amen.
Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. You know what David was saying? You know all about me, Lord. You know me better than I know myself. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. He knows what's in your heart, what you're about ready to say, and what you shouldn't be saying, by the way. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Here it is, whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I get a little higher with You, Lord, if I ascend up into heaven, You're there, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance. You know what he was saying? When I was in the deepest part of the earth, Lord, you were there. Yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Here it is, when I awake, I'm still with thee. Surely that will slay the wicked. O God, depart from me, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What I get from all that, David is saying, Lord, there's nowhere I can go that you aren't there. There's nothing I can say that you don't know it. There's nothing I can think that you don't know it. Yet, search me. Search me. Create in me a clean heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. The fact was, the Lord already knew that. And the Lord already knows your heart. He already knows the sin you're living in right now. But the greatest thing about it is, he's there.
Amen.
He's there. He's here. And he wants to save you. He wants to give you new life. And he can do it.